Tired of the same old sports analysis? Then you need the SMQBs podcast. They're five attorneys, they're sports fanatics, and they're ready to make their case. Welcome to Sports Talk with an Edge. From Dallas, Texas, Ryan Pope. Michael Rooster Phelan from Richmond, Virginia. Patrick Milk Meichler from Tampa. Toby House Milrod from Philadelphia. Chris Bison Nace from D.C.
Episode 225. Welcome, everyone.
What's up, Rooster?
What's up, Rooster?
How you doing, Pope? House, how are you?
Good to see you.
The rest of the gang, other than me, are out in San Francisco at a convention. I guess Milk is traveling back, and Bison is busy at a meeting. Anyway, glad the two of you could make it. Let's jump right into it. Pope, who are you taking to the bar tonight?
Well, I was struggling with that until I looked at my social media feed in the last half hour, and I see where Jerry Jones has decided to open his fucking mouth again at the State of the Cowboy speech, which he thinks is like some State of the Union thing. I mean, you know, he's fucking crazy. But anyway, talking about Micah Parsons, he said, because Micah's not signed yet, and we know that's just going to cost him through the nose. And so I'd like to take Micah and see what his reaction is. The fact that Jerry says, even if we sign him, it doesn't mean we can have him. He was injured and missed six games last year. And then we signed Dak to this biggest contract in quarterback history, and he got injured immediately. So first of all, Micah only missed four games last year, and it doesn't sound like the big vote of confidence there for Micah. And I just don't know. I don't know what Micah's head is. I'd like to have a drink with him and figure it out, because I think I'm not going to be surprised if he holds out. In fact, I might tell him to do so.
House, how about you?
So our great friend Bison might appreciate this one. And sorry to go back-to-back weeks where things get a little political here, but I'm bringing to the bar Josh Harris, the owner.
I'm coming with you. That was mine too. We'll take him together.
Well, let's go to the bar together, Rooster. Because listen, Josh, you're the Sixers owner, but you also happen to be the Washington Commanders owner, and you are being put to a humanity test right now about whether you're gonna honor what it is to do what's right and, you know, not go backwards. There's been so many years of controversy that the NFL and its fans and just the league suffered through, just try to, you know, eliminate a racist stain from that name. And while nostalgia feels good to a lot of people, it was done for the right reasons. They branded it well, whether people like the name Commanders or not, it's starting to attach. And nobody should get bullied by any kind of politician, president or lower, to change the name of their team or be held hostage about getting a stadium deal. So hold the line, Josh. And despite your failings with the Sixers, I'll buy you whatever drink you want.
He paid $6 billion for this team, and now he's got some moron who just jumps in on Truth Social and wants to mess up his whole deal on a whim. It's pathetic. It's just pathetic. Anyway.
Well, we're going to have a lot of drinks at the bar, you and I.
All right. So before we get started, Pope, I just want to mention one of our sponsors, Digital Law Marketing.
Fellas,
if you are if you have one of these websites that looks nice but doesn't produce results, move to Digital Law Marketing. They produce new clients, period, end of story. DigitalLawMarketing.com.
They happen to be doing an amazing job here at our conference in San Francisco, and every single attendee at the conference has this beautiful piece from Digital Law Marketing. So they're a supporter of our community, and it's great to have them.
And they have a great bar, so you could actually, you know, marry going to the bar and supporting our sponsor.
Anyway, Pope's got to run soon, and he wants to talk about the Open. Go for it, Pope.
Well, I mean, and I think that, you know, it was interesting back and forth on Sunday morning. You know, we don't need to recap what happened, but Scotty won. You got the feeling fairly early on after the first day when he was just a couple strokes back that he was where he needed to be. And then, you know, he made his push on Friday, and then Saturday, you know, he went up by four. And after that, I mean, he could have sleepwalked through the final round. And so it didn't make for real simulating golf, which I think was Toby's point on Sunday. I guess, you know, let's throw it out there, but Scotty now, let's talk about him, right? He's the third youngest golfer to achieve four majors. Jack at 25, Tiger at 24, and then Scotty at 29. And the stats in the last 70 tournaments on Scotty are phenomenal. They're Tiger-esque. Are we in an age of golf now where there's a difference, guys, between the number one, you know, Scotty Scheffler and Rory and the others, two, three, four, whoever they may be, at Shoffley, whoever at this point? I mean, is that where we're headed?
We're there. I mean,
yeah, I mean, I think we're there.
I mean, when you look at what his scores are in the last few majors collectively, he's 30, 40 strokes ahead of the field. This crazy thing about the Open is if you just eliminated Scotty's score, it was so competitive. There was a group of like, it would have been one hell of a final day on Sunday. There were like eight golfers within one or two strokes of second. And
Harris English and Chris Goddard, the guy who, you know, nobody had ever heard of, wins the Scottish and then comes out and finishes T3 in the Open. I mean, yeah, it was interesting. But that's what we used to do when Tiger would win by multiple strokes. We'd watch the second, see who finishes second.
Well, there are guys who are capable of winning even when Scotty's in the tournament on any given day, but none of them seem capable of repeating that performance. And Scotty's consistently winning, or at least up there. There's no real competition for him, only the one-off here and there. And, you know, guys like DeChambeau, he can't put together two good tournaments in a row.
How about DeChambeau and Wyndham Clark? They exploded after their first round debacles that took them out of the tournament. I mean, DeChambeau shot a 78. The jet was warming up to go back across the pond, and then he shoots a 65 and makes the cut on the number.
And like, where's and Colin finishes Morikawa anymore? What's he doing?
Well, Colin's struggling. I mean, you can see that.
But Scotty was 59 of 63 for putts inside of 10 feet. I mean, that's been his nemesis to this point. That is insane. When you think about that, 63 putts inside of 10 feet, and he makes 59 of them. And here's the thing. I don't know if y'all heard Jordan Spieth's speech, but he basically said Scotty's never going to be Tiger. Scotty's not going to be the face of the tour. He's not going to be out there, you know, hamming it up or taking in the media or all that. You can see
he's going to corporate events.
He's just not that. And that is why I think for right now, people are a little bit gun shy to make the comparison to him and Tiger. But like Pope just said, they're to the day comparable in the number of majors that they had by like day 1497 or something like that. Tiger and Scotty on day 1497 had the exact same number of majors.
After their first win to their fourth win was the exact day.
Crazy. So what's the difference? The difference is branding, how Tiger branded himself, how the media branded Tiger, how he was involved on a different plane with Nike. Scotty's involved with Nike too, and they're doing nice ads and everything. But it's going to take, first of all, it's going to take the career slam to now get Scotty in the same conversation. And then it'll take, you know, where he gets to the point where he's starting to win multiple of the same major, whichever one or ones it is. But, you know, if you look ahead at the U.S. Opens to come, it's no easy feat. I mean, we're talking like Pebble, Wingfoot, trying to remember what some of the ones are that are ahead. Really, really tough spots. Look, not that that's ever deterred Scotty before, but it'll be fun to watch. I do think golf is in a pretty good place relative to the youth movement, how young people are. We're no longer talking about like Spieth or Rory or Justin Thomas or Jordan Spieth. There's like a whole – or Ricky Fowler. There's a whole bunch of other guys coming up that are trying to challenge Scotty. But this right now, I mean, notwithstanding a fun win from Rory and all this other stuff, the golf world is Scotty Scheffler's to lose.
It is, and it'll be interesting to see, guys, because Ryder Cup right around the corner. Can Scotty, you know, lead the U.S. in a way that sometimes Tiger was unable to?
Look, now that the guy putts lights out, I don't think there's anything he can't do.
Right.
Yeah, that's the biggest difference. One last thing on the Open, though, House, because you've played that course. That's like one of your favorite courses in the world.
That's Royal Port Rush is impossible in weather conditions. There were no weather conditions on Sunday.
Yeah. It was sporadic weather, you know, ish on Friday and Saturday. But I mean, the 17 under winning at World Port Rush.
Crazy. Crazy.
Yeah. Let's hope, guys, just for the sake of fun, that the next British Open is going to have a little bit more challenging conditions.
All right. So, you know, this company from mainstay case management programs like Needles and TrialWorks. Now they've got the best cloud-based case management system software program called Neos, N-E-O-S. It's assemblysoftware.com. House, did you watch the Major League All-Star game?
I did. I watched some of it. I didn't watch the whole thing, and then I did catch the end.
All right, putting aside your love for Kyle Schwarber, what do you think about that method of resolving the outcome?
I just don't like it, Rooster.
I don't like it either.
I mean, I know you and I both fall into the purist category, but there's got to be a different solution to finishing an All-Star game besides some kind of like contest, like some exhibition where you're just hitting home runs.
You're deciding the game by who's – batting practice pitcher is hitting the groove, right? Who's throwing the best meatballs to the guy in a glorified home run derby? It's just silly.
Yeah, I mean, Major League Baseball has a problem in that they're trying to spin a whole bunch of plates, right? So they're trying to account for West Coast viewers and keep on the game late enough where they can expand the audience. Then once they start the game a little later, they've got the logistics problem of sending back players from 30 teams across the country to wherever their next game is. And particularly if you have pitchers that are anywhere close to getting in the rotation, they've got to stay in a certain system. And so you had a situation the other night in the All-Star game where literally the benches were emptying to the airports because some of the players on these teams were leaving. So some of the people that might have even been in the home run competition were gone. The pitchers were either they'd either used up the pitching staffs for the All-Star game because they only pitch one inning at a time, or they're literally on planes. So one of my law partners hatched a pretty interesting idea, which I think is clever. You get these stud pitchers from the Futures game, and you basically say when it goes to extra innings, if you want to do a little fun like hitch to everything, say we're still going to go into extra innings the way we would normally do in a regular baseball game, but now the pitchers for the respective leagues will be futures pitchers, like the best AA and AAA pitchers that are tearing it up. They were invited to play the other night on Friday night. And that way, it's pretty likely that your game is not going to inning 15, 16, 17. You're spotlighting the up-and-comers. You're still playing the game of baseball. I think it would be a fun little twist on things.
Yeah, that would be. But even if they had to do that schmaltzy gimmick of putting a guy on second base to start the extra inning, I'd rather see that than this home run derby. And no offense to Schwarber, but in my mind, it's ridiculous that the MVP of the All-Star game played a position and didn't get a hit in the game.
How about the fact that Skeens is so cursed? I mean, the guy can never get run support from the Pirates. He gets 6 runs from the National League, and they still can't win the game. That was just crazy.
Or, you know what else really irritated me about that game is the announcers. Oh. When Scoble was pitching and they were talking to him, as he's trying to deliver a pitch, they totally got in the guy's head and messed up his performance.
Yeah.
It was dumb. Who cares what those guys – they're telling him, like, how to pitch certain batters. Like, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. You're an announcer anyway.
Funny, the popularity of these shows, like the ones we like to watch, like Drive to Survive and Quarterback, they're in this in-between place where they want to do both a reality TV show and actually play the sport at the same time. Just stop talking to competitors while they're playing. Film your documentary and play it later. But in the meantime, let us watch the game be played. I'm not really that interested in talking to hearing the pitcher while he's in the middle of pitching.
Yep. Plus, they wind up performing for the camera and not being themselves anyway.
Exactly.
We're going into fantasy football season, and there's been some big news already today in the NFL. The Tennessee Titans starting quarterback, Will Levis, has a shoulder injury. He's getting surgery. He'll be out for the year. And now Cam Ward is being thrust into the QB1 position a year ahead of schedule. So it brings to mind the, you know, the drafting strategy of quarterbacks in the fantasy world. In my view, there's always three guys or so in your 12-person league who are going to pick a quarterback way too soon. And they're going to pick from among five guys this year, probably. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Hurts, Burrows, maybe Jaden Daniels. I think after the last 2 years of low fantasy scoring, Mahomes has now dropped down a category. What do you think? Do you think you would you add anyone else to that premier fantasy list for quarterbacks?
Did you, Rooster? Did you say Joe Burrow?
Yeah.
Okay, so I agree with your list, and I don't know. I just well, first of all, I know, for example, our league is a little bit different, and you've got another league that you're in that's a little bit different. So look, I mean, obviously for people who are either new to fantasy or still thinking about their strategy, they haven't taken home the ring yet, obviously you got to look first at what the scoring rules are for your league before you do this. But assuming your scoring rules are somewhat standard and maybe you're getting 4 points for a touchdown thrown, 6 points for a touchdown run, I mean, obviously – those running quarterbacks that are going to score touchdowns like Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts and Lamar Jackson stand at the very, very top. But there's a next tier that's kind of interesting. I mean, for example, Kyler Murray and Caleb Williams, when they're healthy, are capable of running the ball and being a little bit more like a Lamar. They could surprise a little bit for me if I was drafting fantasy. If I could somehow get one of my – if I could get in this maybe second or third round and somehow pull off a Lamar or a Jalen or Josh Allen or even a Jaden Daniels, then late eighth, ninth round, I would think really seriously about grabbing somebody like Caleb Williams and Kyler Murray. You know, Bo Nix had – a pretty interesting second half of the season. I think whether it's this year or the next, he's going to start to become an interesting fantasy quarterback. Milk's favorite, Baker, put up a lot of numbers in fantasy. Like Baker's like – so look, if Milk were on here, he would say you fools need to stop taking a quarterback in the first six or seven rounds. And Milk has been the championship at least – I don't know. He's been in the championship like three times.
Three times, won twice.
I don't think there's been a single time where he's drafted a quarterback early. Every single time he's taking somebody in the seventh, eighth round, and we're all surprised Milk doesn't have a quarterback yet, but just goes to show, like, obviously running backs and wide receivers, the skill positions dictate. For me, my ranking still in fantasy, I think, is going to be probably right now still Lamar 1, Josh Allen 2, Jalen Hurts 3, and then a toss-up between Mahomes and Jaden Daniels 4 and 5. That's where I go.
What about Burrows?
Burrow, I'd have to look at last year's numbers, but because I know there were some injury issues and stuff like that. I don't think Burrow's going to pile up your rushing touchdowns for you the way those other guys are. Right. His yards are going to be gaudy. His passing touchdowns are going to be gaudy. But I think Burrow falls right on the edge around where kind of that last tier of somewhere between Jaden Daniels and Mahomes and Burrow being right there. I just think if in terms of round that you're picking, in the first three rounds, the only quarterbacks I would take are Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts. I would not take any of those other guys in the first three rounds.
Jaden Daniels may join that list next year, but not yet.
He could.
So to Milk's strategy, though, you know, we've got now six guys in the top category, three that you'd take in the first round two or three. So when they're gone, that still leaves Baker, Kyler Murray, Justin Herbert, Purdy, Goff, who's done really well last couple of years.
Yeah.
Jordan Love may have a breakout year. He looks like he should have last year but didn't. Drake May, who knows about Dak? I don't like Dak. Stroud, Bo Nix, like you said. Matthew Stafford has some weapons again. Tua, Geno Smith, Darnold, they're all available there. They're in the, you know, in a sweet spot where you know they've produced in the past. That's a lot of quarterbacks from which to pick after you've stocked up a 2, 3, 4, you know, top-notch running backs and wide receivers or one of the better tight ends. You know, that's always Milk's strategy, and it seems to work.
Yeah, of all those that you just ticked off, I would say if you're not getting one of those premier top 5 or 6 that we mentioned, the one I would look for the best value, if you can maybe get in round 5 or 6-ish, maybe late 4th, 5 or 6, is CJ Stroud for me. Mm-hmm. I think he got hurt last year from injury problems to his receivers, but he's going to have a really, really solid backfield, good position players. I think the Texans are going to remain very good. I think CJ Stroud is going to take yet another step forward. And that would be great value if you can get him that late.
Here are some quarterbacks I would avoid at all costs. Let me see if you agree. Lawrence for the Jaguars.
No interest.
Aaron Rodgers.
Don't touch him.
Russell Wilson.
Nope, no interest.
J.J. McCarthy. Now, that others may disagree, but what has he ever done that you're going to hang your hat on? You know, you might pick him as your second quarterback, but I'm not taking him as my first. He hasn't done anything.
Yeah, that's a great flyer in a 10th round.
Yeah. Joe Flacco is probably starting for the Browns.
Wow, no.
Or no. No, who's he? I don't even know what team he's on. And then Saints quarterback, I don't even know how to pronounce his name, Tyler Shough, maybe? S-H-O-U-G-H?
Right. No, thank you.
No, thanks. Just avoid all those people. Here's who I think could be some surprise. Every year there's a surprise quarterback that scores a lot of points and no one saw it coming. This year it could be Bryce Young for the Panthers. He seemed to come on strong last year.
I like him as a
Michael Penix. Michael Penix could turn out to be a hell of a pocket passer. He's not going to run the ball into the end zone like you were talking about. Who knows what Cam Ward's going to wind up doing for the Titans. Shadur is looking fantastic in practice, you know, and for the Browns. I actually predict that he's going to surprise a lot of people. I think Jackson Dart is going to wind up starting over Russell Wilson after about 4 games, and he could be a stud. And you're going to laugh at this one, but I actually think put in the right place, Daniel Jones is going to be the Baker Mayfield story of this year.
Did you say Daniel Jones?
Daniel Jones for the Colts.
Okay. Rooster, we're going to need a urine sample from you on that one. Are you out of your mind?
No.
Crazy.
He's a great runner. If he's healthy, he could be good.
No, just not happening. Not happening. I will not be drafting Daniel Jones. Yeah, I think I like your call there about Drake May is interesting. I was impressed with his development in the second half of the year. Bo Nix, like we already talked about. I agree with you about Bryce Young. I don't think he has enough position players around him, enough talent. The one who remains just such a puzzle to me is Justin Herbert. I guess it was his first year and a half in the league where he was a fantasy stud. I think he's regressed a little bit. I think he's made a lot of mistakes. I still don't. I don't think he knows how to protect the ball quite as well. But now he has some. He has some nice receivers. You love McConkey. So I don't know. He might be a late now for me. Whereas Herbert before was like a top 5 rounds. Now if I could get Herbert in the 8th or 9th or 10th, yeah, I might take him.
Yep. What about Kyler Murray? Where would you be looking to snag him?
Another sleeper. I mean, if I could get Kyler Murray like in the 7th or 8th, that's a really, really interesting pick right there.
Here's a question. Is Kirk going to play quarterback for any team this year? And if so, how do you think he'll do?
Cousins?
Yeah.
Yes, I do think he will. And I think he's going to be the usual. He's going to throw for 4,500 yards. He's going to throw, you know, 30 touchdowns. He's going to throw 22 interceptions. So for fantasy, that's pretty good because you're not getting that much of a – I mean, Cousins has traditionally been a very, very good fantasy quarterback. I think Cousins is going to be kind of a forgotten name, somebody that you can get in the 12th or 13th round, like really, really late. And he's a really good stash away rainy day quarterback. Like if you end up grabbing one, a stud that you're going to play every single week, the time where it gets tricky is when you're drafting like seventh or eighth overall in a 12 team league. And you got to make sure that you grab whatever's remaining of those running backs and wide receivers. And then the next thing you know, your first shot at a quarterback is like the sixth or seventh round. And so you're grabbing one of the middle guys. And then you have to, because you don't know whether that really is going to be a stud, you have to grab another middle guy. That's the worst when you have like two middle guys where you're toggling between quarterbacks week to week. If you can grab a really, really stud quarterback, then it's fun to take a flyer later. Look, you're gonna play Joe Burrow every week. You're going to play Jalen Hurts. You need one good week when Jalen's on bye or Jalen has a two-week injury where you need to come in with somebody like a Kirk Cousins. That's when the Kirk Cousins and the Drake Mays are fun to put in the background, because you're not going to start Drake May week to week.
Right. All right. Friends, if you are looking to add AI to your law firm toolbox, check out our next sponsor, Supio. Supio provides superior AI products for law firms. Supio.com. House, we're going to try to be quick tonight since we're missing so many guys. If you have anything you want to talk about the major league trade deadline, let's do that in buzzers if you don't mind.
Sure.
So let's go on to punchable face of the week.
It's this week's punchable face.
Do you have a punch?
Not really. At most, like milk slaps and stuff like that. You know, Rich, I've been paying attention to this stuff ever since you were talking about the WNBA and turning it into kind of performance art with worldwide wrestling type of stuff. I don't know if you caught any of the clips and stuff from the All-Star game and some of the attention that they're bringing. But right now, it's a league that's turned into clickbait for social media. And, you know, I think they're capitalizing on the attention that they got from Caitlin Clark. But now it feels very Don King-ish right now. It feels like very, very like a circus and less about competition and the stars and the really great shots and the really good, you know, on the court stuff that's not about like wrestling matches or a terrible shot put up by Angel Reese.
Right. I'm going to move on to my punchable face, and I'm going to come out of our bar meeting with Josh Harris swinging. And this is not going to be well received by a lot of listeners and probably controversial, but I'm going to punch our president for messing with the private business affairs of major league sports owners. Nobody elected you to weigh in on what a private business gets to call itself. Trump announced on Truth Social that after paying $6 billion for the Commanders, the team owner doesn't get to have a new stadium unless he agrees to change the name back to the Redskins, because, of course, you know, Trump likes to provoke minorities at any chance he gets. And he's also come out and said that he wants the Cleveland Guardians to change their name back to the Indians. Just stay out of it, man. Just stay out of it. It's not your business. You didn't know a damn thing about sports before all this. Just stay out of it. It's really embarrassing, upsetting. Sports should not be political. Let's keep politics out of sports and let us have at least one last thing in our lives that we can enjoy without having to fight about politics. Anyway, House, I think we've lost you, buddy. Sorry. With that, I think we will wrap it up. And I want to thank the listeners. This is a shorter segment tonight, but because of travel plans and some really bad tech problems tonight, we're having a hard time keeping the show going. So thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week for episode 226. This is Rooster checking out. Bye.